My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Sports Radio 610 presents Seth Payne and Sean Pendergast.
We coming to H time. Let's get to work in, man. Let's go.
Great day, great day. Oh, give me some juice, baby.
Oh yeah.
They've turned things around and hope to be playing deep into October, but tonight they fall to the Astros 6-0 as Holliday flies out to Myers in center. Nine straight wins on the road for the Astros with the 24-year-old right-hander Spencer Arrighetti picking up his 6th win of the season.
Nine straight on the road. Nine times they've won on the road, the Astros have. That was the Fox team on the call last night. I had no idea that was a nationally televised game last night, that it was going to be. Once I was watching it, I realized.
What time was the start time? I got ambushed.
Six.
Yeah.
Six. East Coast, Seth.
It's out of my ordinary routine, Sean.
Yeah.
I can only
control so much. The suits at Fox, I have no sway with them.
Yeah. I got a text around the second inning about something that had happened. And I'm like, oh, what is this? What are you talking about? Yesterday stuff?
Amy and I were out to eat, and the establishment that we were at Eugene's eating last night, and they had the TV over the bar, and it was on Space City. It's like 6:15, and I'm like, I think this game's starting. I don't know why this is. It's on like Astros, bases loaded, or Rockets, fun summer, or whatever it is. And then they flipped it over to Fox. I'm like, Thursday night baseball. Okay, we haven't had a Thursday game in a while with the Astros because they've had a little time off on Thursdays. But as you heard, they win last night 6-0. The Mariners didn't play yesterday, which is probably good for them. They were busy firing their manager yesterday.
Who found out about it on social media.
Yeah,
way to go, Mariners. Class organization right there. We'll
get to that in a second. But because the Astros won, the Mariners didn't play, I ask you, Houston, have you heard the good news? Have you heard the good news? The Astros are now at a season-high 5.5 game lead in the AL West. They're boat racing this thing now, man. They're putting this thing away.
Almost starting to feel like the old days again.
Dude, they got a manager fired in a pennant race.
Right. Yeah.
That's a nice accomplishment.
This is yet another. Count the Mariners as another team that aren't happy about a 162-game season.
That's
the Yankees, the Mariners, these other teams that wilt.
They wilt
in the August heat.
They wish there was COVID.
Yeah.
So it would only be a 60-game season.
Right, yeah. They're out there like, oh, can I get a damn variant up in here? What the hell? What the hell's going on?
Man. That was like
super strain my ass.
That was like a bonus win last night almost. Man, Spencer Arrighetti.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was a little, I'm still a little on edge about a rookie pitching into August and September. But you got Arrighetti, the rookie, going against Corbin Burns, Cy Young winner. And that's almost... I think it's Spillane who tweeted this last night. He's like, man, you get Arrighetti going out there and throwing, six or seven shutout innings, whatever it is he threw, and you knock Corbin Burns out of the game, you win that game. If you're looking at this series going into it, even as much success as the Astros have had on the road of late, they've now won 9 straight on the road, you still look at that game and go, okay, well, it's we're looking at this series, you know, a 4-game sweep is a lot to ask for if we're going to lose a game or two, you know, I think you take a split against the Orioles, probably really good baseball team. That's probably one of the ones we lose. Arrighetti versus Burns. And now you win that game. You conserve your bullpen a little bit. Mm-hmm. It was 6-0. So you didn't have to bring in any of the leverage guys.
Right.
And I think it was Spillane who tweeted it last night. I thought it was a great point. It's like, man, this is almost like winning two games.
Yeah.
You know, just because of the dynamics of how it all played out.
Did you worry about a Mariners bump, interim manager bump with Scott Servais gone?
I don't worry about it, but that's obviously the goal. You're worried about it?
I worry that he's just such a miserable old man that maybe there's a lightning of mood or something in the clubhouse and that they take off.
Five and a half's a lot to make up on a team that's playing as well as the Astros right now. That's a big lead.
Get cocky, Sean. 5.5 ain't much.
It's just math. It's just math. Yeah. Let me go check Fangraphs to see if I'm being cocky or if I'm being a math
nerd. Ben Gavel Day yesterday. You know, like we've had various days that have sparked good stretches. Right. Well, Victor Caratini Day. Remember they went on a good run after Victor Caratini?
No. You're thinking of Cesar Salazar
for sure. Yeah. I mean, they went on a run after that. But I think Victor Caratini had, I dubbed one day a Victor Caratini Day. I can't remember what the reason was.
I remember we declared one a Cesar Salazar.
Yeah, 100%. And then after that, I also declared a Victor Caratini Day, and we went on a run after that, too. So Ben Gavel Day might be it. Went from like, who the hell's Ben Gavel, to like, ooh, nice hit, Ben Gavel.
Yeah, way to go. Way to go, dude. I didn't even know he existed until like 24 hours ago. So the Astros win 6-0 last night. That was good. Get this year. The Orioles have yet to beat them this year. As good as the Orioles are, I mean, the Astros sweat. That was where the season turned around for me. Like, as you do kind of you look back and you go, okay, how do we get here? How do we get from being in the doldrums to being 5.5 games up? To me, the season turned on that first game of the Orioles series back in late June when the Astros went out and scored, I think, like 9 runs in the 6th or 7th inning of that game, and they didn't hit any home runs. You know, up until that point, when the Astros were winning games, because they weren't winning many games back then, they were winning games because they'd hit 3-run bombs or they'd hit a few home runs. They weren't stringing hits together. That to me, like if I'm isolating it to a single point on the schedule, that Orioles game on Friday, because they had just come off that White Sox series where they won a couple games against the White Sox, and it was like, all right, well now the Orioles come to town, and we'll see they're stepping up in weight class. And I just kept getting push notifications on my phone. I remember double after double after they hit like 5 or 6 doubles in one inning. And that was to me where I'm like, okay, well, this is the Astros team that we've come to know and love. And they sweep the Orioles. And now the Orioles are still trying to get their first win against the Astros.
When you were miming, checking something off on the box, you reached way out. Was that to get my attention?
No.
I was afraid you thought I was lost on a text line or something.
I was
really stretched for it.
I was pointing at a point in time in space.
You'd be a fantastic mime.
Mimes are weird, dude.
It's so weird that they ever, I can't imagine they were ever really a thing.
There was a show one time, there was a full-on show on, back when we only had 4 channels, kids. Yeah. There was a show called Shields and Yarnell. Uh-huh. There was a married couple that were mimes, and the whole show was mime bits.
They were always...
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
It's so annoying. You know what probably killed mimes? These dancers that can make it look like they're floating and everything.
Yeah.
It all started with Michael Jackson. It all started with the moonwalk. The
moonwalk.
Where you're like, well, this doesn't look like something a human can normally do.
Right.
And now you got these kids that look like they're floating as they're running and everything, like all this stuff. There's no way a mime can keep up with that crap. Like, oh, I'm pulling a rope.
Right. Yeah. Get away from me.
This kid's over here floating on a rope.
Painted
it doesn't
face
look anything.
Freak.
Yeah.
Get away from me. No tips
French
for
weirdo.
You. Stop holding your bucket in front of me with five ones in it. I'm
seemed
not
a particularly
you.
French thing.
Mimes?
Yeah.
Yeah, a little bit. Because they always have berets on, too.
Yeah.
I'm glad we had this conversation.
Thanks. So, Victor Caratini took a couple on the face mask yesterday, too.
Yeah. Really. Yeah,
it's aggressive play by him.
Mm-hmm.
He's crowding the plate.
Where are you on Alex Bregman possibly playing first base for this baseball?
Well, you know what? Honestly,
that got reported by Chandler Rome that he might get some reps at first base.
I was kind of surprised by the immediate and vociferous negativity towards this, like as if it was a clown move or something. Is he your ideal first baseman? No, but who has been at first base this year? Was it Jose Abreu? Is it Yiner Diaz? He of the no split step? Nobody's been an ideal first baseman. So, right. Okay. Alex Bregman is 5'3" with short, stumpy legs. Is that ideal for first base? No. But he's a really good hitter. And if you got to get him in the lineup while not sucking up the DH spot and keeping it away from other guys who could be there, it's an imperfect solution, but it might be the best solution right now.
Well, yeah, I mean, right. Like, they've been dealt a very strange hand with the lineup, you know, just with Tucker's injury lingering for as long as it has, and this Bregman thing out of nowhere now. And I'll say this, and the Astros winning all these games lately kind of dull the pain of some of the things. Like,
right.
If they
had to do this, and then it was...
And they were five
scuttling.
And a half back.
Yeah.
Like, so Tucker being out for as long as he has, like, that's a big deal. He was in the top five for the MVP odds when he went out, but they've been winning baseball games, so you don't think about it very much. Alex Bregman not playing third base defensively for this team is a big problem when you get to September and October. That's a huge problem. He is an elite defensive third baseman.
Yeah,
we take for granted a lot of the things he does over there.
And I think, honestly, that's where... Because I heard somebody yesterday say, well, hey, that's not the reason you're going to lose a series in the playoffs or something. And I'm not so sure about that. Especially,
right.
You know, if you talk about Whitcomb versus Bregman at third... One or two errors there. This stuff adds up, man. That's like saying that your best hitter slumping through the playoffs isn't going to lose you a series. Hell yes, it will.
That's right.
So, I mean, one of the reasons the Astros pitching is so good is because they also have one of the top three fielding units in the league.
Yeah.
So
they're worse without Bregman at
third
base.
Right. But I mean, it is what it is, and you got to accept reality sometimes. If you can't trust him to make throws to first routinely, you got to pull a little bit of a Bagwell on him. He'll be like late stage Bagwell. Now, Bagwell couldn't even throw to second late in his career.
Oh, his shoulder was a mess.
Right. Yeah. But if what happens is that he agitates his elbow with throwing and you can't figure out when or why, then just reduce the number of throws and the velocity with which he needs to make them.
Yeah.
And I'm not like, and again, if we're going from Yuli at first to all of a sudden Bregman, I'd be like, oh, crap.
But we're
already taking a situation where we haven't had good fielding at first base all year long. There are guys that are Yiner might be more suited to it, but he's still, you know, he's the throw the other night from Altuve that was high.
Yeah.
You know, Bregman probably makes that play.
Maybe,
you know, I mean, he's still got the obstacle of height. So he would have caught the ball, but maybe could have gotten his foot down quicker.
Yeah.
It's just, so I look at it as a net, in terms of what you get out of fielding at first base, it's probably a positive. I mean, some of the line drives.
Oh, compared to who the other guys
have been. Odd bounces.
Yeah.
You get those odd bounces at first base.
Yeah.
I think that Bregman. I also think this.
You made me think of Abreu just now. When
Abreu
would get anything other than a true hop to him.
And he thought he was a hockey goalie all of a sudden.
Like,
just put it down.
Like someone threw a grenade at him or something.
Good stop on that. I think that this is the one thing I think with Bregman. You never know. Because Bregman's a guy who's, like, always in his head, you know, in a good way, because he can do it. But you wonder if maybe the challenge of playing first base would be something that allows him to be a little bit more unconscious at the plate.
Oh, yeah, maybe.
And that just because he's got to focus on that, that he just gets up at bat and maybe doesn't over. And I'm not accusing him of always overthinking, but he's just sometimes guys that are so meticulous, sometimes they get in their head a little bit.
Yeah.
And you get these long droughts that he's had.
Yeah.
So maybe maybe you end up getting a ridiculously awesome stretch of hitting out of him.
Man, it's going to be fun to watch this play out. I'd rather you just play third base and be healthy, but it's going to be Joe Espada, man. He's been handed a very dealt a very strange hand at the poker
this
table.
I think you're exactly right. If they had to do this in week three of the season, people would have looked at it like Espada's a clown. Yeah. What the hell? Now he's got enough collateral built up that, like, all right, I'm cool. I was surprised that I understand other teams saying, oh, they're screwed or whatever, but like I was surprised that so many Astros fans were down on it.
All right, let's get to Texans practice yesterday. The Rams were in town. What are some of the highlights that we saw yesterday? And Seth Payne had himself like almost like a little fantasy camp yesterday, walking around Texans practice. You got to meet up with some old friends.
Yeah.
So you got to meet up with some old friends. So we're going to touch on some of the things that you may have.
Okay. I don't know why there's something about you calling it a fantasy camp.
Because I got jealous getting the text from you. Like, oh, he talked to Fred Taylor. He talked to Les Snead.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He talked to a lot of people that regular people would want to talk
to. Yeah, oh, good call. Yeah.
You, sometimes
all right.
You don't realize you have a really cool thing
going. I forget that I get to do stuff.
Yeah, it's fantasy camp.
Yeah.
That's next.
The rest of the show is going to be me talking casually about stuff. Like, what, doesn't everybody get to do this?
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
I'm John Oran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.